Welcome to the Naples Community Church Podcast with Pastor Kurt Anderson. Thank you for joining us today. We hope you find this sermon inspires you, builds your faith, and gives you perspective to see God moving in your life. We trust God has great things in store for you. Enjoy today's message.
And our Father, as we listen to your voice, as we attend ourselves to your word, Lord God, may we be responsive in a manner that moves us in the direction that you would have us move, that we might be made holy according to your will. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So yesterday afternoon, Saturday is a work day for me. Yesterday afternoon I was going from my study, the studying that I was doing in preparation, and then I have to stop. I have to let it sink in. So I usually go out into the garage and rearrange stuff. And it's kind of a weird cycle that I'm in. And people would think, if they watched me during a Saturday afternoon, they would think, this is weird. And it is weird. But it occurred to me yesterday afternoon, I've been doing this for over 40 years. It's harder now than it's ever been. Not because circumstances have changed, but because I feel like I know the gravity of what I'm doing more than I ever knew before. Turn the clock back. When I was in Michigan, I was preaching to over 2,000 people every Sunday morning. And by contrast, those sermons were easy because I didn't know the people. And now, because I know you, I struggle between, in the polarity between what God wants me to do and the needs of the people. And I really struggle every single week to do the right thing and to preach the word, to stick to the truth of the gospel, while at the same time thinking about where you live, where we all live together. So I just want you to know that after over 40 years in ministry, I feel like I can understand someone like Isaiah a little bit better. Not entirely, but as one who saw heaven opened, had a vision, and that vision gave him a monumental responsibility. Hear God's word as it comes to us from the 6th chapter of Isaiah. It was in the year King Uzziah died that I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Attending to him were mighty seraphim, each having 6 wings. With 2 wings they covered their faces, with 2 they covered their feet, with 2 they flew. They were calling out to each other, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory." Their voices shook the temple to its foundations, and the entire building was filled with smoke. Then I said, "It's all over. I'm doomed, for I'm a sinful man. I have filthy lips, and I live among a people of filthy lips. And yet I have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. He touched my lips and with it said, "See, the coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven." Then I heard the Lord asking, "Whom shall I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us?" I said, "Here am I. Send me." God and his understanding of this hearing of his word. So Isaiah has no sense whatsoever of him being anything but a sinful man. And yet, he had a vision of heaven. And with that vision was this sense of, who am I? Why me? What have I done? This language, I'm a man of filthy lips. That's a way, that's an idiom for speaking of, what is there that's decent about me? That I should have this vision, that the Lord should speak to me. Not only that, but I'm in a among a people who have completely rebelled against you, O Lord. A people that has gone the way of the culture. It caved to the pressures of the Canaanite culture around them, and all they do is replicate what they see around them, rather than doing those things that you've called us to do. And God sends one of his angels and touches his lips with this burning coal. And the coal not only cleanses him, but gives him language to speak. And so Isaiah is not a holy man in the sense of we often think of holiness. He's holy in the sense that God has forgiven him. And God has called upon him to go into the culture that was coming apart, a culture that had gone full on pagan, and to speak his truth. And the truth that he had to speak was that God was going to send the people into exile. What they knew as a nation was going to come to an end. And they would live in exile for close to a century, 70 years or so, thereabouts. So he gave Isaiah this very hard word. But here's the point. The wall between the sacred and the secular was breached. Through Isaiah, that which was otherwise profane was set apart to do the good work that he was called to do, so that the people might know what it is to know the word of God, to know the will of God, and thereby understand that even in their brokenness and their sinfulness, they are made holy. And so the distinction between sacred and secular has been obliterated. And it is no more. C.S. Lewis said there's a compromise between the claims of God and the claims of culture or politics or anything else. Yet in spite of this, it is clear that Christianity does not exclude any of the ordinary human activities. St. Paul tells people to get on with their jobs. He even assumes that Christians might go to dinner parties, even dinner parties with pagans. There is no essential quarrel between the spiritual life and the human activities as such. Whatever job you do, it is a holy calling, a sacred calling, a responsibility given to you by God to serve him there. So this is the breaching of the wall between the sacred and the secular. In other words, the secular out there, and we hear about it all the time on talk radio and on the news and everything else, the secularized culture, and you hear it from me every now and then. That's us. We are among them, and they are among us. The wall has been breached, but that doesn't in any way mean that you and I aren't called, aren't given a vocation to do ministry in the midst of whatever context we find ourselves. You know, isn't it funny? Of course, we just came off Christmas. And the great miracle of all time is that God took on human flesh. So God takes on human flesh. Jesus himself is God with us. And his critics say he's not religious enough. The great criticism of Jesus was that he was hanging around with people like you and me, tax collectors, prostitutes, sinners, etc., etc. He wasn't religious enough. And it was the religious types, Those who thought so highly of themselves, those who labored at their own behaviors so hard so as to set themselves apart from others, they're the ones, ultimately, that did the crucifying. The reality is that God has given each of us a calling. It's not like the calling and the difference between vocation and occupation. Occupation is what we do. I mean, if I'm in the garage, I'm occupying myself with dumb stuff in the garage. But I have a calling that transcends whatever activity I'm involved in. Vocation is the calling that God has put on each of our lives. And whatever our occupation, we are to be acting out our vocation, the calling that God has put on our lives. And we see that in so many contexts. We see that among so many people. The Apostle Paul in Colossians says, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all as to the Lord. So in everything, we are to recognize that no matter what it is that we're doing, we're to be acting out a sense of service to God so that he might know that his work is being done through his called people. See, I don't think my calling as a minister with a robe and all this stuff is any different than yours. I think it is of the same nature. We are all called to holy service. And that is no matter what our occupation. It just so happens my occupation is this, but you follow me during the week. I'm straightening chairs. I'm doing stuff that doesn't look sacred at all. It's just the work I do. And likewise, the work you do is all part of what God would have you do as his child. I had a physician in my church in Lubbock, Texas. And we also had the former Surgeon General of the Army in the church, who was the dean of the medical school at Texas Tech. And Ted Hartman said to me, he said, you know, Frank Ryburn is the best diagnostician I have ever known. He's probably the best diagnostician in the country. So he was my doctor. And I forget what it was that I went in to see him for. But he did not touch me with any instruments at all. He listened to me. We spent 15, 20 minutes talking. He just listened. And it was in this way that this man who was an elder at the church and who had been a faithful Christian all of his life acted out his calling. His occupation was as a physician. His calling was to be a servant of Christ. And he did that by attending to people, by listening to them, by hearing their stories, and by discerning from their stories the deep realities of their own personal health or ill health. And we all do that in some way or another. If you have people over to your house and it's all just a so-called just a dinner party, well, what do? You take care of them. You talk, you laugh, but also every now and then you get a word spoken to you. Something is told you. Something that is told you and not to anyone else. And the Lord has somehow touched you to be an open person to that other. There are so many instances in which we act out our vocation through whatever occupation that we may have. When I was released at First Presbyterian and I felt so horrifically burdened and broken and devastated by that action, not of the church, but of the presbytery. I took a chance to be with my brother, who was a pastor in Bakersfield at the time, and we drove up in the mountains together and went to a particular turnoff, and it was just to go out and look around. And we stopped and looked around, and we looked out over the valley, Central Valley of California. I turned around and I looked up, and I saw there a peak in Mineral King, a peak that I had climbed when I was in college, a peak that when I'd climbed that peak and I looked out over this glacial valley, across the valley to Mount Whitney, almost 15,000 feet. And I started asking myself, if I could be anywhere in the world, where would I be? I'd be right there. If I could be with anyone, if I could be doing anything else, I'd be with those kids that I was with and doing what I was doing. And that was the place, as I looked at it, I was stunned, because that was the place where I first turned and made the decision to go into seminary. And there it was, right after I had been released at First Presbyterian. And so it said to me, God wasn't done with my work. And then we started this thing. As I tell people, nobody here takes themselves seriously and nobody acts their age. And I love it. I love it. And we may not have such dramatic experiences of vision as Isaiah had, but we may have experiences where we don't necessarily force an interpretation, but we have an experience and an interpretation comes to us. Like when I looked at that peak, and I took that as a, I received that as a moment in which God was reaffirming my ministry. And we have these kinds of experiences where an interpretation comes to us. Seminary, they talked about Geschichte and Heilgeschichte, history and holy history. And so the history part is just the brute fact reality of what we experience. But then on occasion, there is a moment of holy history in our own personal lives. And something happens, something touches us. There was a man who was awakened in his sleep at night. Apparently in the apartment next door to where he lived, in the middle of the night, some guy came knocking loudly on the door. And it woke him up. And then he did it again. And he thought, what, this jerk, what the heck, why is he doing this? And so he thought about it. He couldn't sleep. He just thought about those knocks on the door. And then this man, I believe, had been touched in some special way by the Spirit of God, to where that incident became a moment, a holy moment. For coming off of that, when he got up the next day and for days to come, he ruminated. And the creativity of his mind gave rise to Beethoven's Fifth Symphony. From the knocking on a door to the interpretive work that God gave him, from my brute fact reality of history, a simple event, to the way God used that event to reaffirm his call. You are a called people. That's what ekklesia, the word, Greek word for church, means. It means called out. Ek, called out. Called out from the mundane ordinary to understand that the mundane ordinary is shot full of that which is sacred. God's presence and power at work in our lives. Will you join me in prayer? And thank you, O Lord, that the wall between the sacred and the secular has been breached, that the difference between ordinary and extraordinary has been melded together, and that your presence, your power, gives meaning and purpose to each of our lives, that there is nothing that we do that isn't of your intent. As we listen for you, and as we make ourselves available, even as Isaiah did when he said, "Here I am, send me." Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, there are a few things you can do. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. For more information, you can visit us online at www.naplescommunitychurch.org. If you happen to be visiting Naples, please drop in for our Sunday service at 10 a.m. We'd love to meet you. Thanks again for joining us. Have a fabulous day.